Father, I come before you and with my brothers and sisters here, and I just praise you. I thank you, Lord, so much for all you do for each and every one of us. Today, like every day, we have the opportunity to celebrate your discipline, your perfecting, your sanctification in our lives for the purpose of your kingdom to come here on earth as it is in heaven. Father, may the words that you've given me to share not only touch people's hearts, perhaps make a change in their minds, in their hearts and souls, but more importantly, a call to action for them to come to you and seek you for your wisdom, your knowledge, your love, your forgiveness, that they may share that with themselves and others in their lives. Father God, we just thank you for the opportunity to come together and praise you and worship you and hear from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I asked God to give me his words to share with you, and he surely answered my prayers. Be careful what you pray for. You have no idea what he's going to do. Trust me. Yeah. Reverend's back there. Amen. Yeah, okay. As you hear this message, I pray that when you leave here, your heart, mind, and soul will not only be changed, but moved to action. That was my prayer. That is my prayer. And I pray that it's a call to action for you from our Lord. Okay? Let's take a look at our verse for today. As you open your Bibles or look on the screen, Proverbs 1, verse 5. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. Wow. That's from God. He's saying, listen, add to your learning. And for those of you who have been learning and have learned, let's have some discernment for guidance. How do we take what we've learned and apply it to our everyday life? This proverb is based on a devotional from 2 weeks ago in our Daily Bread. And if you haven't picked up a copy, there's plenty back there. Grab them. Take two or three, you know, as Pastor says, one for each bathroom, as well as the bedroom and living room and so forth. Grab one or two or three. When I looked at this one, it was a question. Do you have a teachable heart? I went, oh, wow. Of course I do, even though I sometimes don't listen nor obey. Do I have a teachable heart? Do you have a teachable heart? Do we have a teachable heart? Today, we continue with the lesson of the seven deadly sins. As we look at the deadly sin of anger and the antidote of forgiveness, here's a question. Do you have a teachable heart? Do you have a teachable spirit? No matter your age, it's vital to have a teachable spirit. This is a hard message. And you'll hear. It may be hard for you. But God put this on my heart. Throughout mankind's history, we've been encouraged, taught, and told we should be and need to be teachable. As a matter of fact, here's the fun. When Pastor Jim asked me to speak on this sin and its antidote, my first reaction was, are you kidding? Anger? Forgiveness? Of all subjects you want me to preach on, seriously? Wayne was having a good time laughing, saying, how better you than me? Paybacks coming around the bend. just kidding. My first reaction note that I was, shall we say, thinking, Pastor, you set me up. Then I realized, and I looked up, and I confessed my sin of, yes, anger. I don't want to give this message. I'm mad because you're exposing me. And I'm looking up at heaven and saying that to God. And then I said, oh, wait a minute. Pastor didn't set me up. You did. How dare you set me up? The nerve of you. How'd that work for me?
Here you are.
Here I are. Exactly. I confessed my sin. I asked for God's forgiveness, and he granted it to me. I didn't want and don't want to talk about the sin of anger and its antidote of forgiveness because it's the one the Lord and I continue to work through. Ripe old age of 71, still working through it. But here's the good news. I know I'm not alone. And if anybody denies that, pay attention. Many of you say that you're not angry, that you've made peace with this person or that situation. Have you really? I hear people, including myself, say, well, I'm not angry. I'm not mad. But bring up certain people or certain situations and watch and listen to how they react. And I mean the word react. They react. They don't respond. They react. And they're angry and they're mad. And then there's always the famous ones. I'm not mad. I'm good. No, I forgave that person a long time ago. It's all good. Oh, I'm not upset about what's going on in the world. I'm good. Yeah, God's got it. Yeah. I'm fine. Go home with them. Yeah, you laugh. Go home with them and see what's going on behind closed doors. It's hard. As many pastors have said, this sermon is for me. You just happen to hear the Lord's teaching too. Once again, do we have a teachable spirit? Do we have a teachable heart? The history of the human race, get this, the history of the human race is largely the history of its anger. We're studying Genesis in Collegium. Wow, guess what? There's a whole bunch of people that were angry, sinning in every way, shape, and form, and defying God. We see the beginning of this history in the sin of anger right back in Genesis. Take a look. And Abel also brought an offering. Good guy. Fat portions from the firstborn of his flock. And the Lord looked favor on Abel and his offering. He's going, attaboy. And then what happened? But Cain. On Cain, his offering, he did not look on favor with. So what did Cain do? He got angry. And his face was downcast. And the Lord came to Cain and said, hey, Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to do what? To have you. But you, Cain, must rule over it. As we know, Cain stewed about it, about God's admonishment of him, and he let his anger fester to the point of killing his innocent brother Abel. How'd that work out for Cain? Not so good, as God cursed him and kicked him out of the land. Wow. That's some serious discipline, eh? Now, some of you grew up, as I did, in an era where children were truly disciplined. Many times, the discipline was more intense with the idea of getting the corrective message across when it in fact was out of what?
Anger.
Exactly. You guys lived in my house, huh? Wow. Yeah. And the antidote of the parent or other adult asking for forgiveness was often heard as, it's going to hurt you more than me, right? And as the recipient of that punishment and that discipline, you're going, yeah, right. Let's get it over with, would you? Oh, that hurt. Oh, that hurt. And it did. Nowadays, they call that child abuse. I'm okay with going with Scripture. Don't spare the rod. You know, take care of the child. I don't mean beat them to death in anger. I don't mean kicking them across the room. I don't mean putting cigarette burns in their skin. Those are abusive. Discipline is a different thing. With the intent, as God the Father did, with the intent of changing each and every one of us. That's discipline. We were also taught manners. Oh, this was worse than getting a whooping. If we got angry or upset, we would often have to repeatedly write something on the chalkboard or a piece of paper. Now, those of you who don't know what a chalkboard is, go right upstairs. We now have a chalkboard wall. Okay? So we're going back in time. Ain't that fun? This is awesome. You know, we had white chalk. Nowadays, they have colored chalk. Okay? But there you are, writing whatever the teacher told you to. Or at home, with paper and pen, and you better write correctly and no scratch outs and mark outs, writing down something for 100 times or more, over and over, getting the message. Point is, there were always consequences. Cain suffered the consequences of his anger and his action. Well, what about a teachable heart? What's that got to do with it? The apostles showed their teachable hearts. And Jesus taught them none other than what? The Lord's Prayer. I looked at several different versions, and there's Matthew, and then there's Luke. And I love what Luke wrote. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. And by golly, he did. Now here's what's interesting. In our very own Father's prayer, he says, forgive us our sins as we forgive everyone who sin against us. Forgive us our sins. Heavenly Father, forgive us. This is his own prayer. Forget, are we teachable? The disciples said they're teachable. Teach us how to pray. Show us the way. There you have it. Jesus' antidote to all sin, including anger, is forgiveness. Forgiveness. It's also, the antidote is found in Paul's letter to the Galatians. Chapter 5, no matter its cause, I love this, no matter its cause, commit your anger to God. Commit your anger to God and ask him to replace it with the Holy Spirit's fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Wow, how are we doing? I don't know about you, but on any given day. My wife is wonderful with the grandchildren. Oh, honey, they're just kids. I'm going, honey, they just destroyed your table. It's okay. You can buy me a new one. Yeah, that's been going on for a while, too, because I tell you, anyway, they destroyed it. And I said, honey, yes, you're going to get a new table. When? When they all graduate from high school. She says, I'll be dead by then. I said, well, I'm not sure about that. But anyway, forgiveness, the fruits of the Spirit. They're the exact opposite of every form of anger. Anger flees. Get this. Anger flees when the Spirit's fruit fills our hearts. Hallelujah, amen, and all that good stuff. We are so excited to know that. Can we have the fruit of the Spirit in our hearts and not only have it, but live it and share it? And guess who we get to start with? Yeah. Miss Bonnie's got it right. She's a Sunday school teacher for many a year. Ourselves. Forgiving ourselves. Well, that's nice, Greg, but what about now? I'm so angry and or hurt by so-and-so and such. My dear friends, I guarantee you, when you go before the Lord and seek His guidance and ask Him to show you where the pain of anger is coming from, it's then that you can actually begin to heal. Trust me, this week, thanks to God setting me up, He actually did reveal to both Debbie and I, as we had a conversation, that our lives needed healing in certain areas, thus ridding of us of anger that we had no idea was there. No idea. Why are we going at each other? Why are we mad about this? Or why are we upset about that? We had no clue until we literally sat down and prayed for God's direction and guidance. And then we talked. Boy, oh boy, I'm grateful my wife has stuck with me for 43 years. He laughs. But it's true. This is God's perfecting for His purpose, for His kingdom to come here on earth as it is in heaven. I still can't wrap my head around it, and I probably never will be able to, because that's God's plan. That's His purpose. That's His call on you and me. There are people in situations that have hurt and angered all of us so deeply that we don't even realize it. God is so gracious, He's loving, He's merciful, and forgiving that He sends us the message of forgiveness through so many messengers in our lives. What I've just shared with you briefly, as Pastor says, and he always points at me, he says, Greg says, we all out ourselves. Well, I just outed myself. How about you for yourself? Is God saying to you, forgive? You won't necessarily forget. I guarantee that. That's us. But can we forgive? And will we forgive? I said that God sends us many messages through many messengers in our lives. I can't even begin to count how many times God was trying to get my attention. How about you? But here's what happened. Shortly after Mosaic Church was born, our own Susan Reynolds shared her family's story of grace and forgiveness for the young man who killed her brother. Some of you may know the similar story of Travis Joyner and his family, and his family's grace and forgiveness for a young man who was charged with the death of his brother in a car accident. Amazing. There was an Amish family in, I forget which part of central U.S., 7 children, something like that. There you go, 7. 7 children. Yeah, they told me there'd be no math, Reverend. They lied. 7 children murdered by one man. Do you know what those people, I don't care what you think about the Amish. I think they make great stuff, but those families got together immediately and went over to that man's family, because he was killed, went over to that family and said, "We forgive your son for what he did." And they did it immediately. It freed them of the bondage of anger. Were they hurt? Yes. Did they experience a huge loss? Yes. So did Susan. So did Travis and their families. But they saw and felt and experienced the heart of Jesus saying, "Forgive them." How are we doing? How are we doing in forgiving? They chose forgiveness over anger. How about that? The sin of anger. Hello? Forgiveness. Huge. I love it. There are others who have been hurt in ways too many to count. You know who you are. You know what's gone on in your life. But some people hold on to the hurt and the pit of anger and don't know it. When you go before, it got really quiet. When you go before God and ask him, "Are you teachable? Are you teachable?" Because he's going to answer you if you're willing. But you got to be able to hear him too. Others here, they're not going to forgive. They're not only not going to forget, but they're not going to forgive. Others will wake up today and realize they can't take it to the Lord seeking forgiveness for those who sin against them, including who? Yeah, themselves. By the way, have you forgiven yourself for your sins that you've committed? God has. Wow, that's awesome. Will you? Will you forgive yourself for your sins against God? So how can we ever begin to conquer anger and learn to forgive? There's all kinds of ways, but hey, you know, Pastor brought the Yoda into our world here a few years ago, and so I do take some of this. It's worthy. You must unlearn what you have learned. As creatures of habit, we tend to love our routines and our go-to methods. But sometimes we have to shake up our process and even unlearn our process to succeed. Okay? So we got to shake it up. And God's real good at doing that. He's great at shaking it up. I'm trying not to laugh, Reverend. Knock it off. I know. She's part of you. All right. We've seen this, we've heard this. Fear is the path to the dark side. Fear leads to what? Anger. Anger leads to what? Hate. Hate leads to suffering. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, our world is suffering from anger, from hate. Anger is actually documented to be the basis of many, many health and social issues. If you don't believe it, get your Bible out. Oh, by the way, if you need a good Bible, study Bible, reference information, we got some. Okay, grab one. If you got one at home, no matter what version it is, open it up. Read God's Word again for the very first time. Indulging our fears, whether with our thoughts or actions, gives power to them and hold us back. Yoda points out how our fears can impact those around us too. Reverend Billy Graham once said, "Every destructive emotion bears its own harvest, but anger's fruit is the most bitter of all. Uncontrolled anger is a devastating sin, and no one is exempt from its havoc." He says, "It shatters friendships and destroys marriages. It causes abuse in families and discord in business. It breeds violence in the community and war between nations. Anger makes us lash out at others, destroying relationships and revealing our true nature. Wow. Hello. How are we all doing as human beings on this earth these days? Same as they did back in the beginning of time. What have we learned? Or have we? Paul urged the Ephesian Christians to get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. It's in Ephesians 4:31. How many churches have been torn apart by someone's anger? Oh, that's close to home. Not here, but others. Pray that it never happens here. How many people have been turned away from Christ because of Christians' anger? Oh my gosh. Don't watch the news. We Christians can be really vicious. I pray we're not. Is anger ever justified? Yep. When it's caused by injustice and sin instead of our selfishness or hurt pride. God is angry when his righteousness is scorned. We must be careful, however, because sometimes our so-called righteous indignation is a little more than a cover for lovelessness and self-righteousness. And only you and God know what's real. Anger and bitterness, as well as hatred, jealousy, resentment, they're the offsprings, are identical. Aren't identical, sorry. But they are closely related. Bitterness is anger gone sour. Wow. How many want to eat something sour today? You ever eat those things called, the kids eat sour heads or something like that? I can't. Well, they got sugar in them, so maybe I could. But bitterness is anger gone sour, an attitude of deep discontent that poisons our souls and destroys our peace. Think about that. Now, Ruth Graham, Billy's wife, said, "A bitter, sour Christian is one of Satan's greatest trophies." Wow, how about that? Anybody want to step up and be a trophy for Satan? Yeah, I don't either. But we do it sometimes. Do you want to be Satan's trophy? We had a study here on, the book, Screwtape Letters. Thank you. We have copies back there. C.S. Lewis wrote that. He said he'd never write a sequel to it. It was so hard. But you know what? It shows what Satan can do and does do. So I encourage you, if you haven't read it, haven't studied it, grab it. It will change the way you see yourself. First of all, God, yourself, and the world. Okay? It's a war. I'm sure you don't want to be one of those trophies. The Bible says in Hebrews, "See to it that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. Are anger or bitterness keeping you from becoming the person that God meant you to be?" Yeah. Some of us are slow. Took me till now to figure this out a little bit more. God's working on it. So am I. How about you? Emotions enrich our lives. Did you know that? They really do. But sometimes they can also overwhelm us or lead us astray. But God, with God's help, we can learn to keep them in balance. This means we must stop making excuses for our anger or our bad temper. Be accountable. It's not what he or she did or did not do, say or did not say. It's how we respond, how we react to them or the situation. We're responsible. Blaming others or claiming we have every right to be angry because of something that happened to us in the past, much less the present? No. How are we doing in seeking God's forgiveness and giving that and sharing that? We must honestly face the toll of anger and bitterness has taken on our lives. They are our enemies. Never underestimate anger's destructive power. Psalm 37, verse 8, refrain from anger and turn from wrath. It leads only to evil. Folks, I don't know about you, but I've experienced it. I've seen other people very angry and lashing out. And they're Christians. We're not exempt. Christians do not have this exemption sign on them. We just don't. We have this sign that says, perfect me, Lord. Create in me a clean heart, O Lord. Are we teachable? On the cross, Christ took upon himself every sin you and I ever committed, including your anger, our anger. God, in his love and mercy, not only promises to forgive our anger, but to cleanse it from our lives if we will let him. Are we willing to let him have his way with us? And it's not just for us, it's for him, his purpose, for his kingdom to come here on earth as it is in heaven. Anger, you know what? Guess what? Anger is a spark that often causes major wildfires in our hearts and in our lives. We live here in the Bitterroot. We live here in Montana. And just yesterday, a fire occurred west of Missoula. And what do they believe was the source? A spark caused by a train going by that ignited, I don't know how many acres, but a lot of acres. A spark of anger can cause a major wildfire. We see it throughout the history of man. The antidote, this is the good news, yay, seeking God's forgiveness, forgiving ourselves as well as asking for forgiveness from those we've hurt by our anger and or forgiving others for their anger. In all this, here's the question to the ultimate deadly sin of anger and the antidote of forgiveness. Are we teachable? Or do we ignore God's call for us to change? Pray diligently and in faith. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you this morning. Thank you, Lord, for your constant pursuit of us, always wanting to perfect us, always offering yourself to us. Lord, you offered yourself on the cross. You died for our sins, that we would be forgiven if only we would come to you and submit to you and agree with you to give up our sins, all of our sins, not just anger. Thank you, Lord, for this time together. Thank you for the peace that we do get to live in right here. We lift up the people around the world who are not able to do that at this point. We just thank you for all your love, your grace, your mercy, and your forgiveness. And it is in your Son, Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen.